This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
If you want to shatter the backboard of education,
yes.
This is where it happens.
You know? Can do it.
Seen a grasshopper take down an antelope on Nat Geo.
You want to know what planet did it his way.
Why is it always a crazy uncle?
I did it my way.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. So I'm here today, Tim Wildman with J.J. Jasper. Good morning, J.J.
Good morning.
Ed Vitagliano is not with us. And so Ann Reed is sitting in for the effervescent Ed. How you doing, Ann?
I'm doing just fine.
Have you ever heard Ed referred to as effervescent?
No, but I've definitely heard of Brian Fisher being referred to in that way by himself.
Oh, is that
by himself.
Right. Well, maybe that's where I got that from. I don't know. Effervescent, what does that mean in Kentucky, JJ?
Bubbly, gregarious, outgoing.
Excited.
Yes.
Just a joy to be around.
Right, right. Uh-huh. Now, Ed, is it my understanding that Ed's actually on the southern border trying to sneak into Mexico?
I think that was his goal today.
Okay.
He has a goal every day.
Right.
And so he has to check it off. So today he went down there to see if he could sneak over the border.
Sneak across the border into Mexico.
Hey, lots going on. You were in
Illinois.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
Representing
and on Monday.
Us.
Had a wonderful time. Sunday morning, was privileged to preach at First Baptist Church of Salem, Illinois, a night of stand-up comedy and inspiration on Sunday night. Pastor Andy DeWitt, his wife, hung out with Josh and Mary Alice, John and Lacey, Bud and Nancy. Wonderful, wonderful folks. A lot of great listeners. And then on Monday night, I was the speaker for the Women's Hope Center in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Okay. Same thing. Got to meet Debbie and Crystal and Mary and Susie and Bob and just all the ones that came up.
But aren't those people in every town?
Well, these were real people that I got to really meet.
I'm sorry. You're not just making up names.
No, not making up names. And in fact, they would come up. It felt like a small share-a-thon because people would come up and say how much God had blessed them listening to AFR. Some folks came up and said they'd been to Israel with you.
Yeah.
They'd been to Branson. They were excited about meeting you and Ed and Abraham Hamilton. And just so many people had stories about how blessed they were listening to AFR.
Amen.
So, yeah, good folks in Southern Illinois. A lot of sweet listeners.
People want you to come to their hometown. How do they do that?
JJJasper.com.
JJJasper.com.
Thank you for that.
You speak at events. Primarily,
yes.
Our
yes.
churches.
Right,
okay.
Right. Banquets, pregnancy center banquets, wild game suppers, men's ministry, fundraisers, you name it. I was in Illinois this past weekend, Ohio the weekend before that, Georgia the weekend before that.
You've been everywhere, man.
Huh? It's exciting. I love it.
All right. Trivia Friday it is here on American Family Radio. Okay, and remember from last time.
I got it.
You got it? You ready?
Yes.
We also call this
Learning University,
which is on the air, ladies and gentlemen. Here's how we do this. We're going to ask three questions each. Three of us are going to ask three questions each, so there'll be nine questions out there in Radio Land for you to answer. You can call in and answer one of them and ask us a trivia question. Okay, that's how this works. You answer and you ask a trivia question. That's how we prefer it. You don't have to ask us one, but we like it that way. And if you get a certain question correct, you will hear this sound. Yes, a beloved cowbell will ring, and all the world will know that you have won yourself a Trivia Friday / Learning University. Hold the T-shirt up, Ann. T-shirt right here. And, JJ, would you describe what we have for our listeners?
Well, thank you, Tim. These are...
it's my pleasure.
Very attractive. They're gray, battleship gray. They look very collegiate. They've got three cartoon likenesses of... you, me, and Ed Vitagliano.
Uh-huh.
It's got Learning University, Trivia Friday, and when you wear this, people at church will be envious. You'll
yes.
be at the grocery store. People will go, oh, AFR, that's my station. It'll be a good conversation
okay.
starter. It's only $15 if you want to buy one, and it's a great way
but
to help the
if you hear the cowbell,
ministry.
You ring. You hit the cowbell, you win one.
Yeah.
So there you go. So if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube live, you're live streaming the show, you can see me now. I'm holding up the Trivia Friday / Learning University t-shirt. And as JJ said, you can buy it for $15 if you don't want to wait to win it free, you know, when the cowbell rings. You can just buy one for $15. I mean, and that includes shipping and
handling.
All right. And let's see, here's the phone number to reach us, 888. This is to be on the air to ask and answer trivia question. So if you call this number, you're saying, I want to be on the air. That's what you're saying. 888-589-8840. I said 888-589-8840. Was there anything I'm leaving out here? I got everything covered?
If you don't call, if you've called in the recent.
Oh, that's it, yeah. Don't call, and please don't call. I'll put it that way. I'll try to be nice about it. If you've gotten on the air with us in the last 4 weeks, because we have a four-week waiting period between calls on the air, because we want to get as many new people on the program as possible. And you've been on staff here how long now?
About 7 years.
7 years. Came from?
The Friendships Ministry in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
But you hail from?
I hail from?
Right. It's not an ugly word. Where'd you grow up?
Okay. I grew up in Louisiana.
Louisiana, mm-hmm. With a banjo? On your knee?
On my knee? No, I was actually born, though, in Mississippi. Lived in Mississippi until I was 4.
Okay.
Among the cotton fields. That helps.
Homeless, were you?
No.
Oh, you mean
I lived in the Delta.
Okay, I got you, in the Delta. Okay, the cotton fields of Mississippi. That sounds like a Loretta Lynn song or something like that.
There is a song about that. I was a little bitty baby.
Yeah? If that comes to mind and you want to sing it, you just go ahead, okay? What are your three questions in the meantime?
Sure. What do sea otters do to keep from drifting apart as they sleep?
Wait, hold on now. What now?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
We haven't
had a sea otter question in
and
we've, weeks.
And we've wondered about the invention of Velcro. So this is going to tie in nicely.
I like that.
Does Velcro work in water?
That's another good trivia question. Save that. Now, what's your question now again?
What do sea otters do to keep from drifting apart as they sleep?
You can drift apart like a leg come off.
Apart from each other.
That's kind of scary, you know.
They got to stay with the herd to keep from drifting, you know, downstream away from the herd.
Oh, you mean apart from your...
Each other.
From each other, not...
Right, right.
Okay. And not metaphorically either. We're talking about really drifting apart from each other, right?
Right. Okay. Not like the extreme hokey pokey song where you put your left foot in.
Yeah, you don't get it back.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Ann, what's the second question?
Words are important. Okay. Uh-huh. Song most played on American radio in the 20th century.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to know the answer to that. Okay. What's the song played the most? Okay, got
mm-hmm.
it.
With what were the tables of stone, meaning the Ten Commandments, written?
Good question. What were they written with? Good question. JJ, what do you got?
Here's what I've got. How many strikes do you have to roll to have a perfect 300 score in bowling? Standard 10-pin bowling. How many strikes do you have to roll to have a perfect 300 score?
I don't think anybody knows, since they keep score for you now up there on the
electronic
on the screen.
Score thing. Second question, which U.S. city is nicknamed Motor City? Third question, true or false?
Uh-huh.
One of the Academy Awards staff thought the Academy Award statuette resembled her Uncle Oscar, and she said so, and the nickname stuck. Is that true or false? One of the Academy Award staff thought the Academy Award statuette resembled her Uncle Oscar, and she said so, and the nickname stuck. True or false?
All right, here are my three questions. Number one, what's the difference between a pig and a hog? This may have been asked before in our... long and illustrious
good question
run of successful Trivia Friday shows, but I don't remember it. What's the difference between a pig and a hog? There is a difference. Number two, where does sound travel faster, water or air? Where does sound travel faster, water or air? And finally, from the Bible, who in all his glory was not arrayed like the lilies? That's from the Bible. The question is, who in the Bible, in all his glory, was not arrayed like the lilies? So
good
there
questions.
You go. Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio, and we welcome your calls. Again, call us at 888-589-8840. Send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And let's get started with Joe in the Tar Heel State, North Carolina. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, going on? Good, good, good.
Thanks for calling, brother. Where do you live in North Carolina?
Jacksonville.
Okay,
I'm
wonderful.
I'm a retired Marine, so we got plenty of us jarheads here in beautiful Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Thank you for your service, Joe.
Yeah. Amen.
Hoorah.
Amen. Well, you want to ask, answer, or both, Joe?
I'm going to ask, and I can also answer one.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
Let's try the mystery question.
That was good, Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
That was good. You had everybody looking at their paper.
You
caught you off guard, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, that's.
You have to get up before breakfast.
If you don't have a mystery this week, I can answer one of the other ones.
Answer one of the others. Which one you want to answer?
Okay, Motor City.
Here's the question. Which U.S. city is nicknamed Motor City?
Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit, Michigan. Nicely done.
And why is that, Joe?
What's that?
Why is that?
General Motors, you had Chrysler, you had, you name it.
Ford, right?
One time there in the 60s. Ford, yeah, in the 60s there. So
there you go.
In the heyday of automotive manufacturing in the U.S., Chicago was
Detroit.
The place. Detroit was where it all was happening.
That was
right?
The hub, right. Yeah. I wonder how they all conglomerated right there in Detroit. But you're right. All the cars, the U.S. made cars.
Well, that's a good question. Maybe somebody
right
knows
there
the
in
history.
Detroit.
History of that. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I'm just speculating, but, first of all, the heart of the Midwest, and you also, it's called the Rust Belt, for a number of reasons.
So
and,
access
you know,
to steel.
Exactly. Access to steel. Akron, of course, is in the rubber tire industry as well. So you pretty much had all your resources centralized in that sector of the continental United States.
And,
so it's a place to have.
And wasn't that where Henry Ford was from anyway?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
he's from Detroit, so it's
okay.
his hometown. So
that was
where
pretty
he started
natural.
His business.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Joe. Question for us.
All right. A little bit of presidential trivia. Okay. We know that the 11th president of the United States, James K. Polk, his middle initial K stood for Knox. And, of course, everyone knows that the 35th president, John F. Kennedy, the F stood for Fitzgerald. Let's go to the 33rd president, Harry S. Truman. What does the S stand for?
All right, let's talk amongst ourselves here, Joe.
The S did not stand for anything. It was just an initial. They just threw the initial in there for good measure. It didn't stand for anything.
It wasn't slothful?
It wasn't slothful or superfluous or anything like that.
You're right. You're right. That is, I agree with you on that. Anne, do you agree with us? Or
yes, I definitely
go with
agree.
The team?
My dad has the same thing. His middle initial is J, and that's all that it is. It doesn't stand for anything. It's just J.
Wonder why you do that. Well, maybe we should ask.
The pastor of First Baptist Church in Salem, Illinois, over the weekend, he said that he had a Bible professor that was named G.H. something or other. And towards the very end of the class, somebody said, "We've had this class all semester, and we don't even know what G.H. stands for." He said, "It's only initials." He said, "My mom liked initials, and there's no name associated with it. She just named me G.H., And he said, "And I've got three older brothers, A, B, C, D, and E, F."
E, F. Hutton. He went on to be a famous stockbroker.
That's right. Like that. Hey, Joe, what about it? Are we right?
Okay. Yeah. It is a standalone initial. And if I'm allowed to, do you know how that S came about? The origin of that?
No. Go ahead. Tell us.
Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you real quick. It was an issue where his parents wanted to give Harry grandfather's name? You know, which one should they use? The paternal grandfather's name was Sharp, and then the maternal grandfather's name was Solomon. And so they didn't want to upset either of the grandparents, so they came up with, you might say, a solemn-like decision.
All right.
Nicely done, Joe.
I thought that was pretty sharp. I thought that was pretty sharp of them, don't you?
Hey, I'm loving these puns. Keep it coming, buddy.
Keep the family. Keep peace in the family, right?
Yes, break out the sword and the baby and let those puns fly.
Yeah.
That's a proverb right there.
Right.
You know that?
You guys got it right. And then next time when I call in 4 weeks from now, have that mystery question ready.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
Thank
Joe.
You
started us out right, answering correctly. So out there from North Carolina.
All right. We go next to Mary calling from Kansas. Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you guys doing? You guys are getting so smart. Hard for me to even answer questions. You got to let up on us a little bit.
We try, we try to remain humble, though, Mary, through it all.
I know. Our friends keep on going.
You know, it's a challenge, you know, try to keep each other humble here with the knowledge that we possess and not just letting it all out, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Tim, you're a good guy.
Well, thank you, Mary. Thank you. Your question, do you have a question for us, or you want to answer first, or which one?
I will try to answer, then I'll ask you a question.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
I want to try to answer the one about the pig and the hog.
Okay. There was a pig and a hog, and they started from Denver. Okay? And they're going to...
60 miles an hour on the train.
60 miles an hour, yeah. No, hold on just a minute. The question is, what's the difference between a pig and a hog, Mary?
And I'm just guessing. Is one tame and one wild?
No, that's not. That's a good guess, but that's not the that's not the difference.
Okay, well, at least I tried.
You tried.
You did try.
You get an
yes,
A for
ma'am.
Effort. Hey, everybody gets a trophy right here.
Born in Arkansas, I figured the Razorbacks were so wild, and they were the hogs, so I just...
Well, that stands to reason.
Yeah.
That is a good guess, absolutely. Go ahead with your question.
My question to you guys is that in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln, and then in 1949, President Harry Truman, which he's popular today, they both did something on March the 3rd, 85 years apart, with a quote. What was the quote, and what did they do with that quote?
Okay, you said in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln.
Specifically with the day, March the 3rd.
Okay. He used a quote?
He did something with a quote. He ordered something to be done with his quote. And then the same thing, 1949 with Harry Truman on March the 3rd. Also continue something with the same quote.
We don't know.
They both said, "Honey, I'm sorry, I forgot our anniversary." And it was so the ripples from that are still
being affected.
Yeah, and that's
why.
Yeah, that's why it's still a history moment. Yeah, no, well, I have no idea. Andy,
I do not.
I'll have fries with that. Maybe I don't know. would that be? Huh? No, we don't know. What's the answer?
Okay, well, the answer is that in God we trust. Abraham Lincoln put on the coins, and Harry Truman wanted to put on the buildings, the government buildings, like in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Yes, which became in 1956 was the official year that
it became the national motto.
Right, in God we trust became our national motto. That's correct.
That's great, Mary. Thanks for that reminder. Have a wonderful weekend in Kansas.
Thank you, Mary. Now we go next to Mark in Virginia. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, fine. How are you?
Doing great, brother. Where do you live in the Commonwealth?
Near to Richmond.
Richmond, okay. Are you pulling for the University of Virginia tomorrow, or do you have a team?
Oh, I don't have one.
Okay, well, now you do.
Boy, Duke got put out. Kentucky got put out. So Auburn, and now who all, where are the final
Auburn,
four?
University of Virginia,
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech, and Michigan State. So we got some geographical, all over the country. Covered.
You always have those bracket busters. You have those Cinderella teams. It's been exciting to watch.
All right, Mark, you have a question for us? You want to answer one or both?
Both, please.
Okay, which one you want to answer?
The one from the Bible.
We got two Bible questions.
Okay, the one about not arrayed like one of these lilies.
Okay, here's the question from Mark in Virginia. And where from the Bible, who in all his glory was not arrayed like the lilies? What Bible character was that?
That would be Solomon.
Solomon.
Nicely
done. And where was, do you know where that verse is found?
It's in one of the Gospels.
Luke chapter 12, verse 27. Would that have been Jesus?
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus was saying that about.
He was talking about, don't worry, the Lord will provide your food, he'll provide you clothes to wear, and then he used that for an example.
Who in all his glory was not arrayed like the lilies? Jesus asked. And the answer, as Mark gave it to us, is King Solomon. All right, Mark, you ready to try to stump the panel?
Yep. And if you get this question right, you will hear this sound.
Hey, here's the first thing, Mark. You need to take your Christmas decorations down. We're in April, brother.
I just want to know what the T-shirt's going to look like.
Hey, at what point? That sort of begs
the question. Well, no, you just hear the sound.
That's it.
What was that, Mark?
What?
What was that? We were hearing.
It was some little cowbells.
Oh, little cowbells. Okay, right. Not the big cowbell, the little cowbells.
Right.
Anyway,
it doesn't make. It was ground beef, the ones that have their legs cut off. It's just real tiny cows with no legs.
No legs?
Ground beef?
Ground beef, I got it.
Hey, what's the question, Mark?
So the question is, how do you say J.J. Jasper in Spanish?
That's going to be with a whole lot of It's going to be like...
Blow your house down?
No, no. It's like, you know, like the jalapeno, and it's and in San Jose, it's going to be Jasper or something like that, I'm thinking.
Oh, man. If it was in French, I could probably give it a shot.
Or pig Latin. We can get that easily.
J.J. Jasper in Spanish. Mark, let us hear.
Yeah, tell us. I'm going to say it's going to have some H sounds in there.
So it's Jota, Jota, Jasper.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to clap for that one right there.
Yeah, I like that.
That's catchy right there. Do that again, Mark, and do it with a little, you know, I don't know.
Accent.
Yeah. A what now?
Who's? Jota, Jota, Jasper.
Jota, Jota, Jasper.
I like it. Hey, Mark, this fellow was going to California, and he called some friends he had in California, said, I'm headed your way. They said, where are you coming? He said, I'm coming to San Jose. And they said, where? He said, San Jose. He said, you knucklehead, that's San Jose. He said, no, I'm looking at it right here. It's San Jose. No, down here, when you see a J, it's pronounced as an H. He said, what? They said, yeah, jalapeno, San Jose. He went, huh. They said, when you coming? He said, well, I reckon now, hoon or hula.
Oh, man. Hey, thank you for calling, Mark. Thank you for calling, Brother Mark. Did we get everything?
I think so.
Okay, thank you for calling. When we get back, thanks to Mark and Virginia there, we will go to the great state of Michigan, where Sean is waiting for our, he'll be our next one up here on Trivia Friday. And then you too can be on the program. Here's your phone number to call and be on the air with us, 888-589-8840. I said 888-589-8840. When we get back, we shall repeat our questions, which have
heretofore
gone unanswered.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A classroom debate about heroes. That story coming up.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Boys and girls at Samoset Middle School in Long Island were assigned to write about their heroes the other day. 11-year-old Bella Moscato chose to write about President Trump, her hero. But the teacher said no, told her to pick someone else.
She said that I wasn't allowed to do Donald Trump because he spreads negativity and says bad stuff about women. The thing I didn't get, she was okay with somebody doing Barack Obama, but not okay with doing Donald Trump. That's what got me angry. I didn't like that.
Bella's parents were furious, and rightfully so. They took their complaint directly to the school board. The school district says the allegations are inaccurate, but they have yet to explain how. Meanwhile, on the issue of heroes, add Bella Moscato to my list. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Jay, what's the most famous line from Hawaii 5-0 you remember?
Book 'em, Dano.
Book 'em, Dano. I was going to say the same thing. Book 'em, Dano. That is the theme there from Hawaii 5-0. We're playing trivia here on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. We're live video streaming here on Facebook and YouTube. Just go there, type in Today's Issues, and you can participate with the show there. And I guess we're off to a good start here. We've had some good Q&A so far. We're going to get back to the phones momentarily. But before we do, Ann is in for Ed today. Ann Reach has been on with us before. Ann, would you please repeat your questions that have not been answered so far?
Sure, all three of them have not been answered. What do sea otters do to keep from drifting apart from one another as they sleep?
Just curious on that question. Where did that one come from? From a girl who grew up in Louisiana and Mississippi, and you get your sea otter question.
Well, you know, we have sea otters in the bayous of Louisiana. You probably didn't know that.
You're lying. Sea otter. I wasn't born yesterday. But were you born yesterday, JJ? Sea otters in Louisiana.
I didn't fall off no turn-up truck. I know better than that.
All right.
They're not just regular sea otters, though. They've got really big teeth. Okay. The song...
You're sexist to fall for that one. Anyway, we'll talk about it later.
What is the song most played, or was the song most played on American radio in the 20th century?
Okay.
And with what were the tables of stone, meaning the Ten Commandments, written?
Ten Commandments, what were they written with? Is that what you're asking?
Well, yes, but we don't use the word with at the end of the sentence in the AFA journal.
Oh, is that a preposition?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't ever do. Okay, well, thank you, Ann, for correcting my English on national radio. I appreciate it.
Here's what I've got. First question, how many strikes do you have to roll to have a perfect 300 score in bowling?
Mm-hmm.
How many strikes do you have to roll? Second question, true or false, one of the Academy Award staff thought the Academy Award statuette resembled her Uncle Oscar, and she said so. The nickname stuck. Is that true or false? Third question, a new question, what is the third letter of the Greek alphabet? That might be a little easier for those of you who were ever in a fraternity or sorority. What is the third letter of the Greek alphabet?
All right, here are my three questions. Number one, where does the sound travel faster, water or air? So it's a 50-50. You got a 50-50 chance. Number two, what's the difference between a pig and a hog, besides the spelling? What's the difference between a pig and a hog? Want to know the answer to that, and there is a difference. And I'll add a new question here. What is the smallest bone in the body? Smallest bone in the human body is what? Want to know the answer to that. Do you know the answer to that?
I do not know. What, smallest bone in the body?
Smallest bone in the body.
I do know that, yes.
You do?
But the thing about, I was thinking about when you said about the sound traveling on the water or the land.
Right.
I thought about the good news and bad news. Your grandparents told you, bad news travels faster, and I heard somebody say that bad news will be halfway around town before good news even gets its shoes on.
Sadly, that's probably true. All right, we go back to the phones, and Sean is waiting in Michigan. How you doing, Sean?
Doing very good. How are you doing, Tim?
Doing wonderful, brother. What part of the great state of Michigan do you live in?
Muskegon.
Okay, yeah. Are you a Spartan fan by chance?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm definitely Mason Blue.
Okay, all right. So,
hey, Sean, last year I was in Muskegon, my first visit there with a town hall meeting. You've got a nice city.
Oh, man, I miss you. Oh, wow. I've been wanting to come to one of your meetings, and I missed that one.
Well, there'll be other opportunities. Hey, you want to ask, answer, or do both, brother?
I'll do both.
Which one you feel confident about?
Mm-hmm.
The Ten Commandments.
All right, okay. Ann, that's your question.
With what were the tables of stone written?
The first tablets were written by the hand of God.
Correct.
Right.
Nicely done.
Is it more specifically the finger?
Yes. It may depend on the translation you're reading.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Way to go,
yeah,
Sean.
Absolutely, Sean. The hand of God wrote the Ten Commandments on the tablets.
Yep.
And then Moses came down.
Thank you.
Moses came down the mountain with them?
Mm-hmm. Broke them, then they went and got the other ones, and then they wind up putting those in the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sean, what's your question for us?
Why, historically, more or less, why are seafaring captains usually don't prefer to travel the big lakes, the Great Lakes? What is it about the Great Lakes that seafaring captains might not prefer?
Well, that's going to be lots less Ness Monster. Everybody knows that. Oh, wait, that's across the pond.
The Loch Ness
Monster? Loch Ness Monster, yeah.
What would it be? What caused that ship to sink that they did that famous song about?
The Gales of November. That would have been...
Is it going to be those quick storms that come up? Those nor'easter?
That was Edmund Fitzgerald.
Edmund Fitzgerald. So maybe it has something to do with what caused that ship, famous ship to sink.
Sean, we're going to go with that. We're going to go with high winds.
quick storms that pop up?
High winds might be a little bit more accurate. It's the lakes are just the right size for the swells to be sort of choppy, and that when that chop breaks with the ship, it gets rough. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the oceans, the swells could kind of roll over and not be so choppy.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely, that makes sense. And that song was Gordon Lightfoot.
Now, yes, to me. That's the reason I take a shower instead of a bath.
Oh, really?
Sean, for those exact same reasons.
Because that could happen.
Well,
you never know.
You got to have a reason for why you do things, and right. That's the reason I prefer a shower over a bath.
You thought through these things.
Oh, right? Yeah, I'm a deep
personal
thinker.
Personal hygiene.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean. Have a great weekend.
This must explain the black eyes that run in your family.
You must have heard that on the radio. Our 4-year-old got a black eye. She was in a hurry, rounded the corner, hit the dresser. I was in Illinois when I got home. I was feeling sorry for her, but she was all smiles. She said, "Daddy, look, I got my first black eye." Now, when you say you got your first black eye,
right.
You don't know if you've got a little tiny MMA fighter in training or what.
So you didn't know it's kind of like
a badge of honor.
Yeah.
She said, look, she said,
a little
this
bit different than
cool.
I lost my first tooth.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I got my first black eye.
Cool, huh?
All right, let's go to Amelia in Texas. How you doing, Amelia?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Thanks for calling. Where do you live in Texas?
Troy, between Waco and, you know where Temple is?
I do know where Temple is, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I live between Temple and Waco.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, listen.
Now, Amelia, I'm guessing you're in the sixth grade. Is that a pretty good guess?
My age is sixth grade, but I'm homeschooled, so I'm actually in seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
But you were smart, very close.
Smart girl on the radio. Well, thank you for being brave enough to call in. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
We'll do both.
Which one you want to answer?
The one about the sea otters?
Oh, you mean Ann's made-up question here?
Okay, what do sea otters do to keep from drifting apart from one another while they sleep?
Would that be holding paws?
Yes, very good.
What? Okay, somebody out there, you children, book authors, you're missing a good opportunity. There's your story for your next children's book, and the illustrations will be easy to do as well.
That's touching right there.
They're just snoozing and all holding hands.
They're holding paws.
And then, however,
in the ocean to stay together.
And
as
whatever
one.
Kumbaya sounds like in sea otter.
Right. That's what they do.
Squeaks and squawks. Yeah. Uh-huh. Kumbaya, holding hands and all drift asleep.
I tell you what the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's all I got to say. All right.
Amelia, good job. What's your question for us?
So I have to credit my mom with this one, but in ASL, American Sign Language, what does the idiom trangon mean?
All right, repeat your question, okay?
In American Sign Language, what does the idiom trangon mean?
All right, now, you mean I thought sign language was international. I don't know why I thought that. So is American
There's
Sign Language.
Versions.
Okay, and
when she said something about Klingon, I don't know a lot of Star Trek
hand language?
Yeah.
Sign language?
I know there's this right here.
I tell you what, Amelia, you have a...
Do you know,
on degree of difficulty here, a 10 being the hardest, you've got you're pegging that 10 right there with that question. What's the answer?
It means... It's too late. You missed it. Like, you missed the boat in English.
Oh, it's like it's too late to turn back now? I believe I'm falling in love. Is that, am I onto something here?
If you missed your bus or something, hang on.
Okay.
That's good.
Or something like that.
Hey, you learned us something. Thanks, Amelia. And thank your parents for listening to AFR there in Texas.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Let's see. Ann, go ahead and repeat your questions.
Okay. All right. We've got the sea otters out of the way.
Yes, we did.
One of the actors who played James Bond wore a toupee during the filming. Who was that?
That's not right. He did.
That's right.
Hmm.
Song most played on American radio in the 20th century. What was it? And what breed of dog gets its name from the German meaning to splash?
How many strikes do you have to roll to have a perfect game bowling? How many strikes do you have to roll to have a perfect 300 score? Second question, true or false, one of the Academy Awards staff thought the Academy Awards statuette resembled her Uncle Oscar, and she said so, and the nickname stuck. Is that true or false? Third question, what is the third letter of the Greek alphabet? What is the third letter of the Greek alphabet?
All right, my three questions are as follows. Where does sound travel faster? Over water or, in water or air? Number two, what's the difference between a pig and a hog? There is a difference, a real difference. The words are not interchangeable necessarily. So what's the difference between a pig and a hog?
That's making me hungry for bacon.
Yeah.
Either way, whatever the answer to the question is.
Number three, what's the smallest bone in the human body? Smallest bone in the human body, want to know. And for some people, it's the brain. But wait a minute, brain's not a bone, right?
No, it's not.
But you do get the expression bone head, right?
Right.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. JJ, who we got?
Let's go to Serena, listening in Texas. Hi, Serena.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I want to do both.
Which one do you want to answer?
The Oscar question.
Okay, it's true or false, Serena. One of the Academy Awards staff thought the Academy Awards statuette resembled her Uncle Oscar. She said so, and the nickname stuck. Is that true or false?
True.
It is 100% true.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. All right, clap, yes.
Here's the story. Margaret Herrick, she was the Academy staff person, thought the statuette resembled her Uncle Oscar and said so, and as a result, the staff began referring to it as Oscar. By the sixth award presentation in 1934, a Hollywood columnist used the name in his column in reference to Katharine Hepburn's first Best Actress win. The Academy itself didn't use the nickname officially until 1939. Now, the industry people called it the Academy statuette, the Golden Trophy, the Statue of Merit, but the Oscar... It stuck, and it was just that nickname from a staff person.
Still call that today.
Saying it looked like her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
What's your question for us? Did you just guess, or did you know, Serena?
No, I had heard that she was originally a librarian, I think.
She was the librarian, yes.
And then she ended up being promoted, I think, to a producer or director.
Eventual executive director, right, Margaret Herrick. Yes. Hey, great job. Mm-hmm. What's your question for us?
Okay, years ago, the series Lost in Space, the characters that played in that, their actual character names were John, the father, Don, his assistant, or co-captain, co-pilot, Judy, Will, and Penny were the children. Dr. Smith was the castaway or whatever, you know, the stowaway. And then, of course, the robot. What was the mom's name?
See, I think she's... The R2-D2, was that the robot? Whatever was on the other channel, I was watching the other. I only watched that Lost in Space one or two times.
Was Julie Andrews in that?
I don't think she was. Huh? I don't think she was.
I got my movies mixed up, my TV show. Huh.
And you're wanting to know the mom's name.
Yes.
If you listen.
The actress's name was June Lockhart.
June Lockhart. Now, June Lockhart was a famous actress.
Was her character name?
But what was the character name? If you listen real closely, our listeners are yelling out the right answer if we get on here.
I know. And this is why we had you on the show today, right here, this moment right here. So yeah. Can you come through with us?
Well, through for us. I was not watching TV when that was out.
Uh-huh.
So.
Were you even born?
I don't think
now,
so.
Now, she ran through the list. You had Penny. You had Creepy Uncle Joe. Wait, no, that was something different from the news. You had R2-D2. I don't, the mom. Now,
Serena, what's the answer?
Maureen.
Maureen.
Maureen. All right. Like, how you spell that?
M-A-U-R-E-E-N.
All right. Well,
all right.
What other show was June Lockhart on, though? She was
in movies.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
She was popular, but I can't even think of another one either. But I've asked that question over the years, and no one can ever answer it.
Hmm. When she was in the James Bond thing, she wore a toupee. But that was awkward for everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Serena. Appreciate you calling today from Texas. So we go stay in Texas and go to Gabrielle. Gabrielle's up next. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
We're good, Gabrielle.
Is it Gabrielle? Is that brother or sister?
It's Gabriel.
Gabriel. Okay.
Gabriel.
Like that.
Guy.
Andrew Gabriel.
Oh,
okay,
good.
Yes. Okay. Gabrielle. May have been
right.
Anyway.
Gabriel. All right.
So, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from in Texas?
Whitney, Texas.
Okay, which is near where?
It's near Waco.
Okay. Okay, great. You want to ask, answer, or both?
Do both.
Okay, which one you want to answer?
The question about the smallest bone in the body.
Okay, where, Gabriel, is the... smallest bone in the human body. Where is that found?
It's in the ear.
The ear. Absolutely. How did you know that? You preparing to be a doctor?
My mom helped.
Your mom helped. That's all right.
Lifeline.
Hey,
that's
you learned
good.
Something. That's sure. The most important thing. That's the most important thing. The ear, yes, is where the smallest bone in the body is. Is that,
it's a little
what
like
is that up there, JJ?
A little tiny anvil and a little tiny something. Yeah, but it's the smallest bone.
I don't mean the most
like
cartilage.
Like a little
hammer. There,
and no, inside the ear is where it is.
Oh, it's inside the ear.
Right, right.
Okay, all right. But there's cartilage on the outside, which is not bone.
Correct.
Right. All right, what's your question for us?
About how long did it take Noah to build the ark?
How long did it take Noah... to build.
We'll talk among ourselves. I think it was 120 years, guys. Does that sound right?
That does sound right to me.
120
years. 120
years.
Did he take any breaks? Or was it pretty well consistent?
I think it was consistent. I tried to think of something crazy to say. Yeah.
No, okay. We're going to go with JJ's.
120 years?
120 years.
It was about 75 years.
All right.
But 120 years until the countdown of the flood.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
That's a trick question.
What now? Repeat.
It took him 75 years to build, but it was 120 years until the flood came.
Okay, so it was ready 50 years in advance, 45 years in advance.
Yeah, I missed that part. But, hey, that's good. Thanks for that information. That's interesting. You have a great weekend. Tell your family thank you for listening to AFR there in the Waco area.
All right. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I'm going to go back and read that story again.
Mm-hmm.
Did you miss that part about it?
I missed that part, but I know for 120 years he was pleading with the people, you know, to get in the ark, and only Noah and his immediate family, you know, and the sons and daughters were
saved. They were the only ones
or
saved.
Sons and daughters-in-law. And mm-hmm. so... You know, and then if that's in fact right, there it sat for 50 years, and people, one more reason to mock and ridicule, it's never going to happen.
True.
Like the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when you talk about Jesus returning, you're met with ridicule, and he said it would be as it was in the days of Noah.
Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
Learning University is on the air. You can do better than that, Ann. Let's do that again. Okay, Trivia Friday, also known as
Learning University.
All right, Ann's excited to be on with us today. You can tell it there, the enthusiasm. So JJ's here, I'm here, Tim, and Ed Vitagliano is out and about traveling the good US of A, speaking on behalf of American Family Radio. I think he and Brian and Wesley were in Little Rock last night.
Wonderful.
All right, so we go to Deborah now in North Carolina. How you doing, Deborah?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for calling today and playing trivia with us. Did you? By the way, where in North Carolina?
Near Hickory.
Okay. Wonderful.
Furniture capital of the world.
Yes.
Is it? I thought High Point was.
I think, right in that area. And then, Deborah, number two of all places is Tupelo, Mississippi. So your area number one.
Furniture manufacturing you're talking about.
Furniture manufacturing.
But High Point, Hickory, North Carolina. Well, Deborah, do you want to ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
Okay, the one about sound.
Okay, yes, here's the question. Where does sound travel faster, water or air?
Water.
Yes, water.
Really?
Yeah, water is correct. Now, I wish I had a more detailed answer. Maybe you do, Deborah. Do you know why that is?
No, but okay. I know that in therapy, they do ultrasound treatments underwater does better than without water, so that's how I knew that sound conducted.
Well, that's quicker. Good. That's good deduction right there. I was thinking, I know that when you are underwater, a swimming pool or a lake or whatever, and you do hear sounds more acutely, it seems like. I just knew that. But, sound travels faster. Would that be in water or over water? I don't know.
Underwater.
Underwater. Okay, underwater.
It's funny thinking about sound. This has happened to a lot of people. If you're, maybe in the very back watching a baseball game, you might be beyond center field or something, and you see the batter swing, and he almost takes a step towards first before you hear the crack of the bat. And you go, oh, that was weird. He's already dropping the bat. Then you hear the crack of the bat.
But, you can hear people talking over water for a long distance.
A long distance.
Huh?
I've noticed that. We built a cabin on a lake, my wife and I, and just people would be sitting out in their boat just almost talking in a whisper. But it would go across
maybe 100 yards away.
Yes, and it would go across the water there, and you thought, man, if they only knew how easy
what I'm hearing them say about us. Them,
yeah, sitting there talking, right.
Anyway, well, Deborah, go ahead with your question for us.
Okay. Where is the world's largest flying American flag?
Oh, Deborah, you emailed me, didn't you?
No.
Somebody did the other day.
Did it give you that trivia?
No, I'm embarrassed. I had that question. I was going to bring it in because one of our listeners sent it to me this very week, that very thing, that very question.
You remember the city or even the state?
Well,
it seems like
I'm
I've heard
it's
that
a southern state.
Well, I've heard that there's one flying at a car lot that's like enormous, but I don't know if that's the same thing.
Deborah, I seems like it was Georgia, but I'm not.
I'm stumped. How about you, Ann?
I'm just guessing it's a southern state.
Deborah, I don't know. What's the answer?
Okay. It's near Gastonia, North Carolina, near Crowder's Mountain. And it's 65 feet tall, 114 feet wide, and each stripe is 5 feet tall.
Wow.
The pole is 225 feet tall, and the pole itself weighs 80,000 pounds, and it can be seen over 30 miles away. And it was put up by the Gaston chapter of the VA.
Wow. So
the largest American flag is found in Gastonia, North Carolina.
That's the world's largest flying American flag. I think there's one hanging like vertically at the George Washington Bridge or somewhere in New York, maybe. But that's the world's largest flying American
that's
flag.
That's remarkable.
Amazing. Absolutely. Thank you, Deborah. Hey, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more Trivia Friday on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.